from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, my name is Lauren Lucenti. I'm a fourth-year psychiatry resident. That's spelled L-A-U-R-E-N-L-U-C-E-N-T-E. And again, fourth-year psychiatry resident here at UB. I'm with the Union of American Physicians and Dentists here today to address you, the public. I wish you could see all of us members here where we're flowing into the back streets. But first, I'd have the honor to announce Dr. Stuart Bussey, who is the president for our union, UAPD. He would like to say a few words. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. And good morning, everybody. UB House staff behind me, members of the press and the public. My name is Dr. Stuart Bussey, and I'm a family physician of 40 years and president of the Union of American Physicians and Dentists, AFSCME, AFL-CIO. And the purpose of this press conference is to discuss UB's financial accounting and lack of transparency at our bargaining table. Now, the UAPD began bargaining with UMRS, which is a management shell company for the 10 affiliated hospitals at UB, over a year ago. Now, we tried to understand their salary and benefits offer, but we couldn't. And we tried to understand the disparity of the salary and benefits to the nearby residency programs at Rochester, Albany, and Syracuse, but we couldn't understand it. These are noted in the flyers that we've distributed to the press. We were given fuzzy math. And so we asked basic, rational questions about University of Buffalo's revenue streams. Well, we didn't receive any good answers, so we were forced to do our own research. And what we found is that UB annually receives about $150,000 per residency from the federal government, plus $100,000 or more from the state government for Medicaid. And that doesn't include all the government grants that are given. So what we estimate is the University of Buffalo gets well over $500 million. $500 million. Now, last Sunday, the UAPD made a modest and reasonable proposal to close the gap between the UAPD residents, the UB residents' salary and benefits to other similarly situated residents in New York State. Not only did UMRS and UB reject this proposal, they painted this House staff as greedy. Well, that's ridiculous. There's a newsflash. UB is the greedy party here. The House staff's take-home pay after taxes per hour is less than minimum wage. Does that sound greedy to you? While Kaleida and UB executives make well into the millions of dollars a year. The House staff are the linchpins of this healthcare system. They serve the community with blood, sweat, and tears. And yet they receive monetary scraps from the university here. Our community members and patients know this, and now that they're suffering the effects of this unhealthy relationship between the residents and management. UB and UMRS's lack of transparency on how they spend and allocate the residents' money leaves us with little choice but to expand our research and investigation. And if UB cannot make any sense and come to a rational agreement with us, we will proceed in contacting and petitioning state and federal agencies to investigate this black hole of UB financial accounting. Since the Buffalo patients and the community are also affected by this, we should create a community interest or watchdog group to help shed light on how UB spends the monies, the monies that are generated, like I said, hundreds of millions of dollars, and how they spend it on their House staff. New York state legislatures, our Attorney General of New York may be of help to follow this trail. And I have here a proposed letter of petition that I would like our residents to sign and anyone in this community to sign. And it reads as follows. Dear UB administrators, the undersigned University of Buffalo residents and the community demand that the UBUMRS account in detail for monies received from federal, state, and private sources that are earmarked for UB residents. Okay, there can be no doubt this has to happen. We didn't plan on going on this path, but UB needs to fix its math. And if they're not crooks, they'll show us their books. Now, they need to explain to us what's in their books. We meet next Monday for bargaining, and we would like to settle this contract, okay, so that we can help resume the good health care that these House staff do at UP hospitals. But this House staff is resolute, and they demand honesty and respect, and the same level of treatment that the residents provide to our community. So we're going to have some of the House staff speak right now, and I'd like them to sign this petition to find out where this money's going. Show us the books. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to sign this?
I'll sign it right now if you want, but then I want to get here. I got a pen right here. You can see my chicken scratch handwriting, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Doctor's chicken scratch.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, my signature's not pretty. It's not pretty. But so next I have the honor of introducing Robert Boreanaz, who is our lead negotiator for UAPD. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Listen, behind you is probably the lowest paid healthcare workers in the entire community of Buffalo. When you factor in, they work 80 hours and they're earning less than minimum wage. When they walk through the doors of those hospitals, every single employee of that hospital earns more than they do. That's not right.
No.
That's not right. Listen, the math does not add up. Essentially, each of the residency programs throughout the entire state of New York get the same amount of taxpayer dollars sent to it in order to pay the wages and benefits and well as the training for these residents. Somehow, miraculously, every other program can pay the residents of their program better wages and better benefits. The people involved in this program, UB, and all of these affiliate hospitals, Kaleida, ECMC, Catholic, they all pay into this program. Why? Why can the other programs pay better benefits and pay better wages? The math does not add up. We need accountability for taxpayer funding of these programs. We need transparency. The time is now. The community must demand that these residents get their fair share, and whatever books are up there, they need to be looked at, and we need transparency. This is the time now the community needs to understand this problem and look into this. Thank you.
Show us the books.
Show us the books.
Show us the books. Show us the books. Show us the books.
Okay. We love the enthusiasm. So, okay, next we are lucky to have Candace Morrison, another lead negotiator for UAPD. Candace.
Good afternoon. So we are standing here today. We have, what, about 80 or so residents, maybe 100 residents behind me all around the corner here. We are standing together. We are standing strong, united, and unafraid. That is huge that these residents stood up, these residents and fellows stood up for themselves, walked out of the hospital for each other, for the betterment of the residents who are above them, below them, and the medical students who are just down the street in that building right there, who may someday be residents, this is for them. And this is for the community. And this is for every one of us who's been a patient in that hospital, or the hospital over there, or the hospital over there. This is the impact of this strike. It is huge. It is historic. And these residents are not greedy. These residents are not asking for anything more than what they are worth. They are not asking for anything more than basic rights, basic dignity in their workplace. These residents make a salary that is the lowest in the state for medical residents. And then on top of it, we have about half of them that then pay a $3,200 deductible. Imagine making $60,000 a year, working 80 hours a week, and then on top of that, paying a $3,200 deductible to get care in the hospital where you are working 80 hours a week. These residents are much like the other union families and individuals and workers in this town. They are standing up for themselves. They are standing up for each other, and they're standing up for the community. And we thank them for being here. We thank them for making things better for those who are coming next. Woo! So thank you. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much, Candace. So next we have a special guest. We have Lena Sarapik, who is a long COVID patient who has a lot of experience being treated by residents and would like to share her thoughts. Thank you, Lena.
Hi. So I actually lived out of or abroad for 6 years. And then about a year and a half ago, a little more, I became sick. I wasn't able to get the healthcare that I needed, so I came back to the U.S. and to Buffalo, and I started seeing doctors and everyone else here. And it's been an incredible experience, I guess, to receive the treatment that I've received, but especially from the residents. Just three quick examples. One was New Year's, this past New Year's. I couldn't stand. I woke up that morning, I couldn't stand, went to the ER, was there all night, was admitted finally, but before I was admitted, there was a wait time, and a resident sat with me. You know, he'd gone through everything that he was supposed to, but he sat with me and he talked to me. 11 o'clock, no New Year's night, so that was amazing. Then I went on in January to the residence clinic at UB Neuro, where my primary treating doctor was then a resident, and she was amazing. She took the time every single appointment that I had to spend an hour with me to talk through everything, not just the fact that I couldn't stand, but all of the different possible things that could be pointing towards the answer, because I have long COVID, which affects so many different things. And then finally, just the other week, I had a test here at the hospital. It was a GI upper series, which was very involved, very kind of confusing. If you already don't know what's going on with your body, then you don't know what's going on. And the resident took the time to explain everything, and that was super amazing. So I thank all of the residents here and who are working all the different clinics and hospitals and everywhere. Thank you.
Okay,
let's give a big round for Lena, who took the time to fight for us. Okay, next we're going to start to hear from some of our residents in arms. So first we have Armin Tadeon, who's a fourth year anesthesia resident, and his lovely child.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here today. As you can see, I'm holding my little one in my arms, a reminder of what we're fighting for change. Our families, our patients, and our community all depend on the decisions that we make today. As residents at the University at Buffalo, we are deeply committed to our patients. We are the ones who are there in the middle of the night when emergencies arise, who spend countless hours at the bedside, ensuring our patients receive the care that they deserve. But while our dedication is unwavering, the conditions we work under are simply unsustainable. We're being asked to do more with less, work longer hours, increasing responsibilities, on all without fair compensation. This isn't just about feeling tired, it's about the quality of care our patients receive. When we're overworked and underpaid, the care that we provide is compromised. No one benefits from a system where the very people responsible for patient care, health, and care are themselves struggling to maintain their own well-being. Unionizing wasn't just a choice, it was a necessity. We need a way to make our voices heard, to demand that the hospitals recognize the importance of our work, not just in words, but in actions. When our call for better conditions went unanswered, we were left with no choice but to strike. We are doing this not just for ourselves, but for our patients, because they deserve doctors who are alert, attentive, and supported for their work. As I hold my son in my arms, I'm reminded that our fight is just more than just the present. It's a fight about the future we're building for our families, for our patients, and for the generation of doctors who will come after us. We want a healthcare system where people who work for others are cared for themselves. Thank you for standing with us.
Okay, thank you, Armin. We appreciate it. So next we have the great Steve Moran, who is a second-year internal medicine resident. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm here hoping to shed some light on the claims my shell company employer, UMRS, has made. While they have brought forth a salary which is in fact essentially equal to what we've asked for, they've offered nothing to improve our benefits or improve our working conditions. Don't let them play you all as fools. UMRS knows we're asking more than a higher salary, and they just don't care. Sunday was the night for UMRS to show up and avert this strike, to provide us with something resembling a fair contract. Let me be clear, they showed up with nothing. When prompted for a deal that included things that we do not have today, like a healthcare plan without a $3,200 deductible, funded savings accounts, training stipends for exam fees and equipment, or hazard pay during blizzards that make leaving work unsafe, they claimed they couldn't make any of these changes. They said the unique payment structure we're employed under and our association with the VA renders these things unattainable. In response to this, in an attempt to compromise, our union proposed a salary increase of the exact amount of these things as they would cost per resident as a possible solution. The total sum of this would equal about $15 million over the next 3 years, in addition to our pay increase. Let me be clear, this number is fair. It includes a cost of our deductible, money put into a retirement plan, hazard pay, and more, and after 3 years will only put us on par with Syracuse residents today. We didn't ask for a cent more than was absolutely fair. We asked for the minimum any employee in America receives, and their response internally to our program directors and to the press is to paint us as greedy, careless, tantruming children making ridiculous last-minute demands. These are the tactics they're willing to execute to continue to abuse and ignore our needs. Our numbers here, today and this week, and the void we left in the area hospitals have proven that we've had enough, and it ends now.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Next up, we have Dr. Amy Beatty, who is a pain medicine fellow. Amy, take it away.
Hello, Buffalo. The mics are still too tall for me, but you know what? We'll make it work. I am so proud of all the people that have gathered here today. We are no longer afraid, and we are standing for what is right. Dr. Brashear.
You're not here.
You are definitely not here. Dr. Chair. I have sent you countless emails inviting you to the bargaining table, and you send a guy, Larry Ross, who on bargaining night comes in a white plain t-shirt with a beach background, telling me you can't give us benefits. Before you took your positions at administrators, you were physicians first. You have an oath to keep to protect this community. Your programs trains doctors that leave because of the conditions in which they work.
Yeah!
That's not right.
In the past 10 years, your policies have failed to keep any ENT doctors in the community. No other. The average in New York State is at least 50%. Where are doctors? Why are there policies that will not protect the people who keep this community safe? Larry Ross, in one of the bargaining sessions that these people did not attend, told me to my face, Dr. Beatty, you are not worth $100,000. That's right. The federal and state government thinks my training is worth $250,000 a year. these hospitals, the university gets over $500 million each year to train these doctors and to take care of the community. So fiscal responsibility, yeah. I have something to say about that. If you cannot afford to give us the health insurance you unilaterally took away from us, who is the irresponsible one? $15 million? That's over 3 years out of $500 million.
Pathetic.
Show us the books. Show us the books.
Show us the books. Show us the books. Show us the books. Show us the books. Show us the books. Show us the books. Show us the books. Show us the books. Show us the books.
Our lines are open. Rob says, you know, we gave you a package that covers just the basics. Health insurance deductibles. Safety equipment, so our doctors can keep themselves safe, and books so that they can learn to take care of the community. That is it. It is bare minimum of what you can do. So we are not children. We have families, and we want to protect the community of Buffalo. Come meet with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy, and thank you for signing. Amy said it all. It's my turn to follow her, but I don't know how I'm going to follow that. You can see we're passionate, we're strong, we are standing united today. And Amy's right, doctors are leaving Buffalo. They don't want to stay here in a system that has abused them. People aren't coming for fellowship because they're going to take a pay cut to go to a fellowship here, then University of Rochester down the road. So what are the hospitals forced to do? They're forced to hire locums, people who do not live in the Buffalo area, who do not support the Buffalo area. We're giving them hundreds of thousands of dollars to come here and work when we could have people from the Buffalo community make Buffalo greater and stay here. So really the hospital, it's pretty insulting that they don't want to give us, you know, a dollar raise an hour and rather pay these locum physicians and PAs and NPs hundreds of thousands of dollars instead of supporting their own Buffalo community. So let's go, right?
Woo!
Woo! So next, I have the honor of introducing Amanda Duggan, who is a second-year MedPeds resident. Amanda, it's your turn.
Amanda! Amanda, we got your back, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for coming. My name is Amanda Duggan. I'm a second-year resident in the Internal Medicine and Pediatrics program, and I'd like to tell you why I'm here today. When I came to Buffalo, I was expecting to work very, very hard for my medical training. I was expecting to serve the people at Buffalo. I was expecting to work very long hours in order to do that. What I was not expecting was to be... What I was not expecting was to be diagnosed with colon cancer in my first year of residency. What I was not expecting was a lack of support from my program, from my leadership, from UB, from my employer, UMRS, while I struggled to continue to provide that care to the Buffalo community while I was on chemotherapy. I needed 6 weeks off in order to recover from surgery to remove a tumor from my colon. Life-saving surgery, required surgery. I needed to use up half of my vacation time in order to do that. I came back from my vacation time and continued to serve the Buffalo community to the best of my ability. I only required the odd afternoon off in order to do that. Just one afternoon a month to see my oncologist, to get infusions, to make sure that the tumor that was in my colon wasn't going to kill me. It was very difficult to get that one afternoon off. As a result, I reached out to the union, to UAPD, to help me. I sat across from the bargaining table from Larry Ross, who's representing UMRS, and I was essentially told that he wasn't able to help me because UB was not my employer, UMRS is. And it's not their responsibility to oversee the educational component of my residency. And if my residency said that I had to be there those afternoons, then that was what was going to happen. Standing behind me are residents that supported me through that terrible, terrible experience. And I'm standing here today in front of you all for them. Because they deserve better than that.
Yeah.
God forbid any of them have to go through what I went through. I'm also standing here today in front of you in support of the Buffalo community. I love the Buffalo community. We are the city of good neighbors for good reason. As a few people before me have said, this community in Buffalo, they deserve to have, to continue to have, great doctors coming to Buffalo to serve them. How can we continue to ensure that great doctors are coming to Buffalo to serve the city of good neighbors? It's by offering our doctors reasonable salary, healthcare benefits, hazard pay, retirement funds, basic things that workers in New York State and in this country all receive, that doctors in training at the University of Buffalo do not receive. Thank you all very much.
Miranda.
Okay, I think that's our line, right? Yeah. Okay, thank you so much, Amanda, especially for sharing your story. I mean, it's unfathomable, right? You think that we're caring people, we're all doctors, but clearly that's not the case all the time. So I just want to reiterate one last thing and then we'll wrap up. But, you know, the URMS is trying to paint us as the bad guy. We're not asking to work less. We're definitely not asking to care less. We love our patients. We love our job. We would rather be there today. And yet we're here because the UMRS refuses to negotiate with us. So I guess the last thing I have is for the crowd here. What do we want?
Fair contract.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Fair contract.
When do we want it?
Now.
Thank you, everyone.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go. Woo!
What do we want?
Fair contract.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Fair contract.
When do we want it?
Now.
Is disgusting. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.